Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 14 lines from the bottom. You'll notice a Mishnah toward the bottom of Daf Chof Hei. This Mishnah continues discussing the piyusim. The pious was the method of choosing kohanim for their respective roles in the Beis HaMikdash for the daily sacrificial service. HaPayus HaShemi, the Mishnah says, the second pious, the second counting where kohanim got together for the purpose of being chosen to do different activities. So the pious Hasheni, the second gathering for the counting or for the choosing, involved mi shochet, who would slaughter the tomid, the daily sacrifice, mi zorek, who will sprinkle the blood, mi medashen mizbeach hapanimi, who will clean out the internal mizbeach, namely the mizbeach, the golden altar upon which the daily incense offering was offered, umi midashen es haMenorah, and who would clean out the menorah. Every morning the candelabra that stood in the hechal needed to be cleaned out. Umi mala evorim lakevish. And the next section of the Mishnah deals with who would be the one to bring the limbs of the sacrifice from the slaughtering site to the ramp of the Mizbeach leading up to the top. So, and a number of different Kohanim were chosen for this role. Harosh v'horegel, the head and the right foot. That would be a fifth Kohen is for that. Ushte hayodayim, the two front legs. The ha'oikets for regel. The oikets is the posterior, the rump of the animal. And another hind leg, the left hind leg. The eighth Kohen, v'hachoze v'hagera, the breast and the gera, part of the organs of the animal. The ninth coin, ushtei hadefanos, the two sides, v'hakrivayim, these are the innards, v'asoilis, the flour, part of the accompanying meal offering, v'hachavitin, the daily offering that was brought by the coin, that was the coin godel's offering. He provided for that. So the Kohen that was chosen to offer it was the 12th Kohen, the Hayayin, and the wine. Shlosho Asor Kohanim Zohu Bo. 13 Kohanim were chosen for the offering of the Tomid Shel Shachar and its accompanying sacrifices. Omar ben Azai Lefnei Rabbi Kiva, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, Derech Hiluchai Hoyo Korev. In terms of the order of the limbs, the limbs were brought onto the ramp in the order of the animal as it walks in its lifetime. There will be a number of different deos on this topic of the order of the limbs. Ibayalaho, the Gemara asks, Kishahain Mephaisim, when pious is done, in other words, when the choosing of a kohen takes place, lavoda achas mefaisin, oidilma lechol avoda vavoda hein mefaisin. Is the choosing done for one avoda, and then let's say shechita? That's the first person that was chosen for the activities, the slaughterer was the first one chosen. Do we say that the slaughterer is chosen through the pious method, which we've discussed in previous shiurim, which has to do with a large number being chosen ahead of time, and then counting is started involving all the kohanim that are assembled. Counting is done starting with one chosen individual, as we learned in a previous shiur. One of the kohanim would remove his hat, and we know from him the number began. And a large number was chosen, and they would go round and round and round until the number ends, and he would be the one chosen, in this case would be chosen for Shechita. What about the subsequent avodos? Do we say that the subsequent avodos simply are determined by those next 12 Kohanim that are next to the one that was chosen, so that there is no additional choosing for each and every avoda in a separate fashion, but rather one is chosen and the next 12 Kohanim next to him do the next 12 avodas that we saw listed in the Mishnah. Or O Dilma l'chol avoda v'avoda hein mefaisim. Or do we say that a new counting is done for each one of the avodos? So you have this counting ritual done for each avoda separately, and a new kohen was chosen by way of counting the kohanim for each avoda. So that's the question. If we look in Rashi, who explains l'avoda achas mefaisim kigon mi shochei, do we say that for one avoda do we do the pious, the counting method to determine who would slaughter ukshiske mishezoch lishchita, and when he who won the opportunity to do shchita shuv ein pious l'shar yud beis avodos, there's no more counting for the subsequent 12 avodos. Ela kohanim shemukofen limino nimshochem achrov kfiser mishaseinu. Rather, the next kohen, the next 12 kohanim to the right of this one that was chosen, they will do the next 12 avodas as enumerated in the Mishnah. Sheni lizriko, shlishi ledishin mizbeach apnimi, the second kohanim next to the one chosen for shchita, he would do the zrika. The third kohen would do dishun mizbeach apnimi, revi lemenorah, v'chein kulham, as the Mishnah spells out. Rashi goes on, O Dilma l'chol avoda v'avoda, hayu choizrin u'motzien es bosen. Or do we say that for each one of the avodos, they would have the kohen would extend his finger, the fingers were extended, they would count fingers, as we discussed in previous Gemaras, as opposed to counting the kohen himself, but rather the fingers that were extended, that were counted. And so hayu choizrin u'motzien es bosen l'minyan, for each avoda, a separate counting was done. So those are the two possibilities. Let's now turn back to the Gemara. As you can see, we have triangles used, and on the side, we've indicated that these triangles are nisyonos lehochiach. These are attempts to show the ein mefaisim al kol avoda v'avoda. On Amud Beis, there's going to be an inverted triangle. At that point, the Gemara will try to lehochiach the mefaisim I'll call avoda voda. So to keep track of the direction this discussion is taking, we're using these triangles. So the triangle pointing up is an attempt to show that only in the morning, or this pious Hasheni, only one counting was done to determine who would slaughter, and the next 12 Kohanim automatically would be the ones to do the next 12 avodas. Toshma. So we turn to our Gemara, the first triangle. Toshma arba paisis hoyusham. The Mishnayos tell us that we learned earlier on Daf Chof Beis that there were four countings in the course of the day. V'isakodaitoch l'chol avoda hein mefaisim. If one were to think that for each avoda a separate counting was done, tuvahavu, there would be many more than just four. The Gemara rejects this. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok hachi ka'omar. Rav Nachman explains that what the Mishnah was saying earlier is arba pa'omim nichnosen lahafis. There were four times during the day a gathering would take place, four counting. However, ulechol chado v'chado hoyu bo tuva paisis. within each gathering, and each there would be numerous countings at each time they had gathered. So there were four separate times of day that they gathered, but within each gathering there would be numerous countings. Ta Shema. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Hoya Pius Lamachto, Ela Kayin Shezocha Bekturus, Omer Loze Shimoi Zeche Emi Bemachto. This source deals with the pan of coals that was brought into the golden altar on a daily basis, together with a pan holding the Ktoris, a vessel holding the Ktoris. So Rav Yehuda says that there wasn't a separate pious for the Machta, the one for holding the Koyin that would carry in the coals. So there wasn't a pious for that. Rather, the Koyin that won the right to do the Ktoris, he would say to the one next to him, you will bring in the Machta, the coals, where the Machta is the pan with the coals. So what do we see from here? We look at Rashi at the top. Lo hoya pious lamachto, kishoyu mafisim lekturis, kedisnan masnisin, as the Mishnah says, regarding the incense offering, the Mishnah says, chadoshim lekturis bo vafisu. Vakturis, by the way, chadoshim means a new kohen, a kohen that never had the chance to do kturis. Only new kohanim come for the kturis choosing. The Ktoris requires two Kohanim. Echad Shemoylech HaKtoris Lehechal Maktira. One to bring in the incense itself to the inner golden altar and burn it on the coals. Ve'echad Shechotik Echolam Me'alam Ezbeach Itzun Machnis Lehechal. And a second Kohen for bringing the coals into the Hechal. Ve'nosin Al Mezbeach Pnimi Vaktus HaKtoris Aleman. He would bring the coals from the exterior, from the external Mizbeach, and bring it into the Heichal, and put it on the golden altar. The Psukim will illustrate or prove that the coals are taken from the outside Mizbeach and brought into the inner golden Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda tells us that there wasn't a separate counting for the one who won the machta, the one who would get the right for the machta, lo mishi yizkeh b'kturis, lo mishi zocha bo, omer lo zeh shebino zecheh imi b'machta. Alma, what do we see from this? Lav l'chol avoda v'avoda mefisim. We see that there isn't a separate counting done for each avoda. In the case, as you can see here, in the case of when the kturis offering needed to be chosen, so only one coin was chosen through counting, and the second coin that was needed in that role was not determined through a counting, but rather simply by the fact that he was next to the one that won the Ktoris. The Gemara rejects this and says you don't see from here that that individual avodas were not determined by pious, because shiny machta, the case of the pan of coals, is different. Shiny machta uktoris dechado avodahi, they're really one activity, so they're like two halves of one activity. But if you're dealing with separate activities, each separate activity might very well require a separate counting in order to determine who is to do it. Iko diamri. As you can see, the triangle is inverted. Coming off of this source, the Gemara says, Davka Machta Ktoris. From this source, we would say that only in the case of the Machta Ktoris, Dechad Avodahi, that they are one inextricable unit. Avol Shar Avodas Boy Pious. But we can infer from here that other activities in the sacrificial offering would require a separate pious. Only in the case of the machta, which is inextricably related to the ktoris, so there we say there isn't a separate counting to determine who does the machta, the carrying in of the pan of coals. But for other avodas, for say shechita, and for zrikas hadam, and for haktoras hachavitin, separate countings would be for each one. The Gemara rejects this. Machto it's the richale. The case of machto is necessary to be taught that it doesn't require a pious. Since it's not common, the Keturis is done only twice a day. There is no, let's say, voluntary Keturis offering, so it's not common. And ma'asra means it enriches the involvement with the incense, enriches those who are chosen for it. So naskin lo pious b'fnei atzma. I would think maybe the person who's going to be doing the kol, since it's such a unique type of activity, it should have a separate pious, a separate counting. Komash malon, the source, namely Rabbi Yehuda, says that even though the machta being part of the Torah was so unique, was infrequent and enriches, etc., nevertheless, there isn't a separate pious for Keturis, for the Machta. We continue. Toshma. Again, the triangle pointing up will try to show that there is not a separate pious for each Avoda. The Toni, Rabbi Chiya, has the following Tanaic source that he teaches. Lo lekol Avoda Avoda mefaisim. A separate pious was not needed for each Avoda. Ela Kohen Shezocha B'tomid. Rather, the Kohen who was chosen for the slaughtering of the Tomit, the 12 additional Kohanim that are next to him are drawn with him. Shema, you know, this is conclusive proof that only one actual counting was done, let's say at this second gathering, and from that one counting all 13 Avodos were determined who would do it. Pious Hasheni v'chulei. Ibaya laho. The Gemara asks, and we have a topic heading on the side, Mi mekabel es hadam. Who does kabolas hadam? Hashoichet oi hazorek. Is it the one that does the slaughtering, or the one that does the sprinkling? Now, if you pay attention, if you look in our Mishnah, the back on the bottom of Omer Aleph, the Mishnah mentioned number one was Hashoichet, and number two was the zorek. The slaughterer was chosen, and someone was chosen to do the Zrikas Adam. What about the receipt of the blood, which is between the Shechita and the Zrika? So, who does the Kabbalah Sadam? Since the Mishnah doesn't mention who does it, it has to be either the slaughterer or the one that's going to do the sprinkling. So now, the Gemara. Ibayalo, mi mekabel? Shochet mekabel? Do you say that the shochet is the one to do the Kabbalah Sadam? This question, by the way, lasts a number of lines till it comes to a head. It says, do we say the shochet's mekabel Adam? The e amris zorek mekabel? If you were to think that the one who sprinkles the blood is the receiver, you'll see there could be a problem with that. Agav chavivusei, because of the chavivusei means the love or desire to do the mitzvah of Zrikas Adam, which is a very significant avoda. When a person becomes very involved, or I don't want to say infatuated, but overwhelmed with the significance of what he's about to do, so lo mekabel lekul adam, he might not receive in the receiving vessel all of the blood, as we know he's expected to receive all of the blood, and if he doesn't do that, so he's misperformed his role of Kabbalah Sadam. So do we say that let the Shochet be Makabal? Because if we say the Zorek is Makabal, as we said, because he's so anxious to do the sprinkling, he won't be Makabal the Dam as he is supposed to. Oy Dilma. Zorek Mekabel, or maybe the sprinkler does the Kabbalah Sadam. Di Am Shochet Mekabel, because if you were to suggest that the slaughterer does the Kabbalah Sadam, there's a downside to that. Zimnin De Shochet Zar. There are times, or in general, for the purpose of slaughtering, a non-Kohen is allowed. And if you are going to rely on the Shochet to do the Kabbalah Sadam, that non-Kohen will end up doing Kabbalah, and he is not allowed to do Kabbalah. The Pasuk says, V'shochat es ben ha-boker, Rashi quotes this Pasuk, that the Pasuk says the animal is slaughtered, V'krivu ha-kohenim es-adam, and Kohanim enter the picture only after, when the Pasuk says V'krivu. We learn from that mikabola v'yelech, from the point of receiving the blood, a Kohen is necessary, not from the point of Shechita. However, there is a downside if we suggest that the Shochet is the Makabel, you could have someone who is a non-Kohen doing the Shechita, and he'll end up doing the Kabbalah, which is forbidden. Ta Shema. So we try to settle the issue. We have a Tanaic source that features the Kior and the number of spigots that were on the Kior. Kior was the tank that held the water in the Azora of the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, the washing of the hands and feet of Kohanim that were going to do the Avoda. So it says, Ben Kotin is the name of a Kohen Gadol who lived in once upon a time, and he improved the Kior. Also, Shneimusur Dod L'Kior, he, instead of the basic two spigots that were on the original Kior, or whatever, there was a much lesser number of spigots on the original Kior, he made 12. Kedeshu Yudbeis Echov HaKehanim Ho'asukin B'tomid Mekachin Yedeim V'raglem B'vazachas, by having 12 spigots that enabled all 12 Kehanim that were involved with the offering of the Tomid to wash their hands and feet at the same time. If you're going to say that the Shochet did Kabbalah Sadam, well then, if you look back at the Mishnah, if you start your counting from the Shochet as calling him number one, you're going to end up with 13, and he only made 12 spigots. So, if you say the Shochet is the Mekabel, and we're working with the obvious assumption that the Mekabel Saddam has to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So if you're going to say the Shochet is the one that's doing the Kabbalah, then Tleisar Havi, there would be a need for 13 spigots. But there were only 12 that he made. El Alav Shma Mino. So we have to conclude that the Zorek Mekabel Shma Mino, that the one who was doing the Zrika Saddam, who in effect in our Mishnah was number 2, and if you count from him till the end of the list of those who were involved with the Tomid, you'll find 12. So so we see from here that Shechita, by the way, does not need Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, even if the Shochet happens to be a Kohen. And the reason for that is that Shechita is a kind of Avoda that is kosher bazar. It's allowed to be done by a non-Kohen. But as far as Kabbalah needs to be done by a Kohen, the Zorek will be the Mekabel. And if you count, as we said before, if you count from the Zorek onwards, you'll find 12 Kohanim. And he will have had to have done Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim already for the Kabbalah, which obviously is before he does the Zrika. So the Gemara says this is conclusive. Shma Mino. Omar Le Rav Acho Brei de Rav Ravashi Af Anan Nami Tanino. We have this taught as well in the following source. Shochat HaShochet, the one who slaughtered does the slaughtering. V'kibel HaMakabel Ubo Luli Lizrok. And then the receiver of the blood receives it, and he, the receiver, then goes to do the Zrika. So you see from here that the one who is doing the Zrika is the one that had been Mekabel the blood. Shma Mino. So this is conclusive. Before we go further, we have on the side of our Gemara a nosei, mivneh heading, a topic heading with a structural note. The diamond is featured. These represent a series of deos, b'mahu seder hakrovos eivron mizbeach, a series of opinions as to the order of bringing the limbs to the mizbeach. Tanu rabboni, ketzad derech hilucho. We saw in the Mishnah, Ben Azai mentioned that the limbs were brought derech hilucho. So what is the order of the limbs as they appear on an animal as the animal is walking? So the source says, horosh v'horegel, hechoze v'hagera, u'shtei odayim, u'shtei defanos, ha'oiketz v'horegel. So those are the orders of the limbs, of the head and the foot, and the chose, the breast, the geira are organs of internal organs, shtei yodayim and shtei defanos, ha'oiketz v'horegel. Let us point out that, as you can see through our markings, each one of the opinions here has Rosh Voregel first. Those are the first limbs that are brought to the Mizbeach. That is, as Rashi says, that's determined not by the methods mentioned here, but rather through Psukim. But after that, then the order becomes significant, and you'll see differences. But as far as Rosh Voregel, according to all opinions, you can see this is pointed out by the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rosh Voregel comes first. And Rashi says that it's based on a Mikra. As far as beyond that, the chazeh is the forward most part of the animal, and the geira are the organs of digestion. So that's, let's say, connected with its mouth and the esophagus, etc. The shtei yodayim are the two front legs. Shtei defanos are the sides of the animal. The oiketz v'regel is the rump and the other hind leg. Rabbi Yosi oimer derech hefsheto hoyo korev. The order in which it is skinned is the order of the limbs that were offered, that were brought to the mizbeach. A rosh v'regel, as we said, that is a separate consideration. And now the animal, when it's skinned, is basically is hung with its hind part uppermost, head facing down. So as far as the skinning is concerned, the oiketz v'regel, u'shtei defanos, u'shtei hayodayim, hechoze v'agero. Rabbi Akiva omer, derech nituchoy hoyo korev. It was offered in terms of the order of its being dismembered. Ketza derech nitucho. Well, what was the order in which the animal was dismembered? The order involves harosh v'regel. We said that's not part of the consideration. That has to be first because of the mikra. And now, shtei yodayim, hechoze, v'agera, u'shtei defanos, v'oiketz, v'horegel. Rabbi Yosi Haglili Omer, Derech Iluyo Hoya Korev. Derech Iluyo, Rashi says, Derech Meitav Shelo, Mivchar Nisochov Hamuvcha Kodem, the choicest of the limbs. The more choice the particular limb is, that is the one that would be offered earlier. So the source goes on, Ketza Derech Iluyo, and how is that order illustrated? Harosh v'regel, hechoze v'agera, u'shtei hadefanos, v'oiketz, v'horegel, u'shtei hayodayim. We have a bit of a, we'll call, textual problem here, and we indicate that the next line is really to be read later on. So we skip the parentheses section. Omar Rova, bein tano didon u'bein tano Ubein Rabbi Yosi, whether you're looking at the order featured in our Mishnah, and our Mishnah had the Rosh Voregel at the beginning, then he had Shtei Yodayim, Oiketz, Regel Chozer Gerod Shnei Defanos, and Rabbi Yossi had a different order, as you can see just above. So Rava says that whether you are looking at our Tana or Rabbi Yossi, both of them, Boser Iluya de Bisra Azlino, they're both looking at the value or significance of the limbs. In other words, not anything else, not the other considerations. So we saw, but rather, significance is the determining factor. More ozil boser ibro de bisra, more ozil bisra shmeino de bisra. One follows the size of the limbs, and the other follows the shmeino, the fatness or the richness of the meat. So you have size versus of size of limbs versus the, we'll say, the quality of the limbs. If we look in the Rashi, about three lines from the bottom, Marozo Boser Ibro Tonadidon Holech Achar Ilui Godol Eivorim. Our Mishnah looks at size of limbs. Rabbi Yossi Holech Achar Ilui Hashomein, and Rabbi Yossi emphasizes the richness, the quality of the limbs. The Gemara continues, but now you see at this point we have a note. The double star means go back to the parentheses section. The Hoksiv Kol Nesech Toiv Yorech V'Kosef. Does it not say already in the Pasuk that the Nesech Tov, the choicest limb, is the Yorech? And then the yorech is the thigh, and then the kosef. So you see, in terms of order of things, the better limb is the yerech, and only later on the kosef. If you note to the side of our Gemara, we've listed the Tono Didon and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So under the list of Tono Didon, the order of the limbs that our Mishnah suggested, you can see that following the Rosh Regel, you have Shnei Odayim, which is in effect the Kosef. The Kosef literally is the shoulder, but the shoulder is attached to the front legs. So the Shnei Odayim, according to Tana Didon, which is the Kosef, is mentioned before the Oikets and Regel, which constitute the Yerech. So the order of our Mishnah has Kosef before Yerech, but in the Pasuk you see Yerech is before Kosef. So that poses a problem for Tana Didon. The Gemara answers, Hahi Bekhusha. The Pasuk is making reference to an emaciated or a thin animal. And in such a case, then in fact the Yerech is larger than the Kosef. But generally speaking, in a stocky, a robust animal, the Shnei Yodayim would be larger than the Oikets and Regel. Rashi explains that in the case of Kusha Yerech Mali, the Yerech is better, the Olim, it's larger. That's in the case of a Kusha, an emaciated animal. We continue in the Gemara. My Taimo, now we're picking up the Gemara six lines from the bottom, because we just finished reading the parentheses section, which we had inserted there at the sixth line from the bottom mark. So we pick up where we left off. My Taimo Salko Regel Bahadi Resha. Why is it that the regel, the hind leg, the right hind leg, goes together with the head? Answer. Mishum deresha nefishi bei atzomos. The head, since it is basically bone, it's skull, there isn't much meat there, so it's in order to compensate for its lack of meat, so korva regel bahadei, the leg is offered together with it. The Kuli Alma Mihas Roish Korev Beresha. Everyone agrees. We saw so many different opinions till now, they all agree, though, that the head is offered first. And in the extreme case, according to the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that said derech nitucha, where the animal is hanging inverted, where the head is closest to the ground. In fact, it is derech hefsheto. We should not Rabbi Akiva, but rather we made a mistake there. Rabbi Yossi says derech hefsheto, where its skin basically from the hind, because it's hung inverted, the back part of the animal is the first part that's skinned, and yet the head, which is hanging furthest downwards, the last thing to be skinned, so to speak, it's the first thing to be offered. Why is that? So that Menola, from where do we know that? That the head is offered first, according to all opinions. Disanya, the source says, Minayin the Rosh Upoder Shekoidmin Lechol Evarim. From where do we know that the Rosh, together with the Poder, is offered offered before all the other limbs? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Es Roshoi Ves Pidroi Ve'orach. From this Pasuk we see that the head, together with the poder, is offered first. The Gemara asks, Ve'idach poder lemai asa. Here we're at the top of Daf Chof Vav Amud Aleph. There's a reference to another pasuk that says, and Rashi quotes this at the bottom here of Omer Beis, Es Hanesochim, Es Haroish Vesapoder. There's a reference to another pasuk that makes reference to the poder again. What do we learn from that second reference? The different translations translate the word poder in different ways, but they refer to either the suet or the fats of the animal. So in the pasuk of Es Rosho Ves Pidro Vorach, we learn that the head and the poder are offered before the other limbs. The second reference to poder is the subject of our question right now, and the Gemara answers, L'chidatanya, it is needed for the following. Ketzad hoya oise, in offering, how was he to do it? Noisein es hapoder abeis hashchita. The head was naturally severed from the body at the point that the slaughtering had taken place, so the neck was cut open. The poder, which might be a slab of fat, was placed over the severed part of the neck, umaleu, and then brought up in that fashion. Vizeh hu derech kovod shamala, and that is a respectful way of offering the head to onto the mizbeach, offering it to the Almighty. Otherwise, all of the bloody part of the neck and the head are exposed so as to cover it as a sign of something respectful, of honorable. The poder was used to cover it, and that's what we learn from the second reference to poder. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.